Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesa Sanivadi Paskatyade Satarne Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpatubhischa kipasindaviyabhatapatitanam pavanevyo vaishnavebhu namo namah. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So it's January 14th, 2020, in Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13, The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, Text 6. Ichyutsasarjaswam deham Nimiradhyatvako vida Mitra Varuna Yor Jagne Urvasam Prapitamaha Iti. Thus, Uchasarja gave up Swam, his own, Deham, body, Nimihi, Maharaj Nimi, Adhyatma Kovidha, fully conversant with spiritual knowledge. Mitra Varunayo, from the semen of Mitra and Varuna, discharged from seeing the beauty of Urvasi. Jagne was born Urvasyam through Urvasi, a prostitute of the heavenly kingdom. Prapita Maha, Vashishta, who was known as the great-grandfather. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After saying this, so what was this that Nimai said? That we will look in a minute. After saying this, Maharaj Nimi, who was expert in the science of spiritual knowledge, gave up his body. So what was the this that Maharaj Nimi said? He was cursed by his spiritual master, and what did he say?
He also cursed
his spiritual master. So what he said from the previous verse was, for the sake of getting contributions from the King of Heaven, you have lost your religious intelligence, therefore I pronounce this curse, your body also will fall. So Vasistha had cursed Nimi to die, and then Nimai said, you're cursed to die. So after he said this, after saying this, Maharaj Nimi, who was expert in the science of spiritual knowledge, gave up his body. Vashishta, the great-grandfather, gave up his body also, but through the semen discharged by Mitra and Varuna, when they saw Urvashi, he was born again. Purport. Mitra and Varuna chanced to meet Urvashi, the most beautiful prostitute of the heavenly kingdom, and they became lusty. Because they were great saints, they tried to control their lust, but they could not do so, and thus they discharged semen. This semen was kept carefully in a water pot, and Vashishta was born from it. Ichyutsasarja swamdeham nimir adhyatmako vidaha mitra varunayor yagne urvasyam prapitam mataha. So they had some very advanced systems, right, for conception and fertility, more than our modern systems, isn't it? Right? Nowadays, you could not produce a baby just from semen in a pot. Even though they think they're very clever, you know, all the things they can do today with IVF and so many things, and surrogates and the modern methods, they cause a lot of harm to the body. They actually damage the body, all these different fertility methods. And they're not very certain, and they often involve killing of embryos. So they'll produce like 10 embryos and then kill 8 of them and implant 2 of them and then kill 1 of them. And it's not very nice. But previously they had far more advanced technology, right? And they could produce children in this way. But perhaps the most surprising thing here is what Srila Prabhupada says in this purport. How does Srila Prabhupada describe Mitra and Varuna? He describes them as what? Not just saints, but great saints. But then they could not do what? They could not control their lust, even though they were great saints. And they weren't the only ones here having a problem. Vasishta, who is the Pitamaha, the grandfather, what could he not control from the previous verses? His what? His anger. He cursed a faultless disciple. He cursed his disciple. So those of you who haven't been coming every day, just briefly. So Nimi had asked his guru, please do this yajna. And Nimi said, no, I have to do Indra's yajna first. Wait for me. But you know, waiting for somebody who's going to see the demigods, it can be a long wait. Yes? Right? When Revati's father was waiting for Lord Brahma to finish his musical performance, and he said, you know, okay, who's a good son-in-law? And Lord Brahma laughed, and he said, while you've been listening to the music, everyone you've considered and their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they've all died, and nobody knows their names anymore. So Nimi was thinking, if I wait for my guru to come back, I may be dead already. You know, my grandchildren may be dead already. So he got someone else and did the yajna, and Vasistha cursed him, and then Nimi said, so in anger, so Vasistha couldn't control his anger, and what else couldn't Vasistha control, according to Prabhupada's purport? From the previous verse, what did Nimi accuse him of? For remuneration, that means he was what?
Greedy.
So Vasistha couldn't control his greed, according to Nimi and according to Srila Prabhupada's purport. We may also wonder about Nimi counter-cursing his guru. So this doesn't seem very proper or appropriate. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that even if your elders are greedy, he says specifically, even if your elders are greedy, even if they're avaricious, which means greedy, you should not fight them. This was a concept in civilized society until very recently. This changed very recently in the world, this concept of respect for authority. Now, it used to be what your teacher said, even in an ordinary school, you did. What your parents said, you did. What the husband said, you did. What the government said, you did. This concept that we can fight with our authorities is a very recent concept, that you can criticize your authorities. Very recent. I mean, we're talking maybe 20, 30 years this has come into the world. And Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that you don't give your elders, your authorities, even a verbal fight. You don't even argue with them. Of course, the reason this is stopped in the world is because people were misusing their authority. And that's exactly Nimi's point here. He says, my dear guru, you misused your authority. So we find even in ancient times that sometimes there would be a rebellion against an authority who had misused their authority. Still, it's unusual. It's very unusual because Arjuna, so many thousands of years after this, is saying, I'm not going to fight with my grandfather, I'm not going to fight with my teacher, even though they're greedy and even though they've done something wrong, I will leave it. So it's questionable with Nimi whether he acted properly or not. There's no commentary by the acharyas to say, But generally, we can say to counter curse your guru is not exactly pukka. So maybe even he had a problem with anger. But for certain, Vasistha had a problem with greed and anger, and for certain, Mitra and Varuna had a problem with lust. And this is very interesting because Prabhupada refers to them as great saints. And Vasistha is referred to by Sukadeva Goswami as Pitamaha, the grandfather. You know, Vasistha is one of the greatest gurus in the universe. He has as his disciple Lord Ramachandra himself. So this is a little bewildering. I think we in our ISKCON movement assume that anybody who walks in the door and puts on tilak will never have a problem with lust, anger, and greed again. We have this assumption, you know, you hear this all the time. But they're devotees. All the time. I mean, at least once or twice a week, somebody will say this. This and this happened, this person did this, this person did that. But they're devotees. How could they do that? And then people also may think, well, I'm putting on tilak and tulsi and I'm chanting, so I cannot have any problem with lust, anger, and greed. And we get surprised if we have a problem. Or we may try to hide that we have a problem. But these stories are here in the Bhagavatam for our instruction. Yes, we don't. Of course, this is the ninth canto. Very soon we're coming to Krishna Lila. And you may wonder, why doesn't Vyasadeva simply talk about Krishna Lila? Why does he have these other things here as well? Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks on the one hand about the spiritual world, and he also talks about the demoniac nature, correct? Yes? Both. Not just in the 16th chapter, but so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about Maya. So the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're giving us both things side by side, just like in the Ishopanishad, right? Sambhutam, asambhutam. One has to know both. One has to know the material nature and one has to know the spiritual nature, both. Right? If everybody thinks, oh, I am just spiritual, then we all become sahajiyas. And if we just absorbed in the material nature, then we stay here maybe as very righteous people. So why is it that even great saintly persons struggle with these things? Because Krishna defines these three things as the essence of the demoniac nature. Right? In the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 3, Krishna gives the qualities of the divine nature. And then he describes so many things about the demoniac nature. Ishvaraham, aham bhogi, siddham. I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy, I'm the smartest person, I'm the richest person. And we hear modern demons speak like this. Am I correct? Yes? Right, if you keep up with the news at all, you'll find the modern demons, they are going on the television and so forth, and I am the richest, I am the smartest, I am the most powerful. Yes? So Krishna's describing so many demoniac qualities, but then he encapsulates it, right? Trividam narakashyedam, dwaram nashanam atmana, kama krodas tata lobas, tasmat etam twayam twadet. So we think about all these demoniac qualities, it may be overwhelming. So he's saying at least these three, lust, anger, greed, these are dwaram, they're doors to hell. And if you're a sane person, right, dhirastatma namuyate, if you're a sane person, a sober person, you will give up lust, anger, and greed. But here we see that Mitra, Varuna, Vasistha, and maybe Nimi were unable to do so. Prabhupada says here in the purport, they tried. They made some effort. It wasn't just that they said, oh, here's Urvasi, let's go enjoy with Urvasi. They made some effort, but they could not do so. And these are not just even great saintly persons in an ordinary sense. I mean, Mitra and Varuna are demigods. They have great responsibility in the universe. Vasistha is the guru of Ramchandra. I mean, At least sometimes he's one of the Sapta Rishis. So how is this possible? How is this possible? I mean, at least we can understand that fall down into lust, anger, and greed is to be expected in this material world. We shouldn't be so shocked. Especially in Kali Yuga, just like Ajamila. When Ajamila, he was a nice Brahmin boy. He was a good boy. He had good parents, good guru, nice wife. And he just saw some man and woman, low-class man and woman, intoxicated and embracing. And he became bewildered. And nowadays, that's everywhere. It's even coming into India. That used to be, you'd never see something like that in India. But especially if you go out of India, it's everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And worse things. I mean, I sometimes stay at our temple in London, in Soho Street, and in the summertime, it gets very hot, and you want to open the window, but if you open the window, all the people having illicit sex and taking intoxication are having their own Kali Yuga version of a kirtan outside, you know? Their own drunken singing. And, you know, sometimes it's just too much. And I remember one night I woke up like at 1 a.m. I have to close the window, too much noise. And in closing the window, what I saw outside, I would not want to describe. It was so abominable. So in Kali Yuga, people are seeing such nasty things. You know, and even the signs on the road and so many things. So we shouldn't be surprised. We really shouldn't be surprised. People get so shocked. I can't believe that sannyasi had a fall down. Why can't you believe it? If Vasistha and Mitra and Varuna had a fall down, why is this so astonishing? We become so horrified. You know, and people will write 10 pages, 15 pages, 20 pages over the internet and send it to everybody. And people are so horrified, even they become horrified when nothing happens at all, they become horrified. You know? Oh, some sannyasi patted a baby on the head. Oh, shocking, shocking. So we should not be shocked. And if we have trouble, we should not be shocked. If we have trouble with lust, anger, and greed, we should not be, oh, but I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 5 years. How could I get angry? I thought I was a great saint. And now I have yelled at the clerk in the shop for giving me the wrong change. Oh, I'm so fallen. And sometimes we are blaspheming the devotees and we are beating ourselves up. I know Bhaktisiddhanta said beat your mind with sticks and shoes, but that doesn't mean that we go around, oh no, I'm so terrible. I'll never make it. I'm just such a low creature. That's not humility. Rather, we should, just like Prabhupada said, a walking is natural in a child. And bhakti can be done by practice. But who has ever watched a child learn to walk? How many of you have watched a child learning to walk? Do they just stand up and run first thing? But Prabhupada says sadhana bhakti is like a child learning to walk. So learning to walk means first you stand up for like 2 seconds. And nowadays, immediately the parents take a picture and they will put on social media and... And the child stands up for 2 seconds and they go, they get all excited and then what do? They fall. And next time they stand up for 5 seconds. And then they stand up holding on to something. And then maybe they take one step. And maybe for 3 months they can only take 1 or 2 steps. And then somehow then they take 8 steps. But even after the child's pretty good at walking, do they still fall down? Many times. And they bump into things. I remember our oldest child, when he was first learning how to walk, he kept getting bruises on his forehead because he was looking at the ground with his feet and he would bump into things. And then when they're walking first, they walk kind of funny. Yeah, you see? They walk like from the hips. We call them toddlers because they have this kind of funny walk. So we may think like that. I'm in bhakti, I'm walking. And the great devotees look at us and say, toddlers. You know? And the little child, they cannot hold something and walk at the same time. So Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Gornitai, they're watching us walk just like we are toddlers. And just like the mother and father, the aunties, the grandparents, they do not become angry when the child bumps their head or falls on the ground. Do they become angry? Do they say, oh, you useless child? Useless! No! They don't pay any attention. They just pick up the child, and the child will fall down and cry sometimes. Usually they don't. Usually they just get up. Yeah, it's okay, it's okay. So our society of devotees should be like this. It's okay, it's okay. Just get back up. Just get back up. Someone has some difficulty. Someone just wrote me, you know, I just had an illicit. I said, look, even the demigods, they have their things. Just get back up. So we should be kind to each other and kind to ourselves. Okay, all right, I yelled at the lady in the store. Let me apologize and get back up. Not to stay there. Now, it's also interesting to see what happens to these personalities. So, Vasistha and Nimmi are both cursed to die. Vasistha takes birth again. It's an unusual birth, and it's hard to say, you know, we talk about having proper samskaras for birth, so it doesn't sound like a very good samskara for this birth. But he had kind of an unusual birth. It wasn't, there was no marriage, there was nothing proper, he's just from a pot. Dronacharya also took birth in the same way. So he took birth again, even though he was a great saint. Now Nimmi, on the other hand, I don't want to ruin the classes for the speakers the next few days, but we'll just say Nimmi got a spiritual body. He did not have to take birth again. He could have even, but he refused. He said, I want a spiritual body. So even though he counter-cursed his guru to die, still he went back to Godhead. It says specifically he got a spiritual body to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is also interesting. One would assume that Vasistha, being the guru, and having, in one sense, the right to chastise the disciple and not show up and so forth. But he takes birth again in a material body and not even a very nice conception. And Nimmi, the disciple, who counter-cursed his guru, gets to go back to Godhead. So these stories should also give us some pause as to judging people. You know, again, there's so many stories like this in the Shastra, and it's very easy to look at someone, oh, this person's right, and that person is wrong, and make a judgment. Who's going to hell? Who's going back to Godhead? Who's getting a good body? But things are not always as they seem. With Ajamil, even the Yamadutas were confused. And the Yamadutas are not ordinary persons. They're servants of Yamaraj, and they generally really know what's going on. But they were confused. They couldn't understand. So again, we make very quick judgments about people. You're a good person, you're not a good person, you're a devotee, you're not a devotee. But it may not be that simple. It appears here, superficially, that Nimmi was offensive to his guru. That's what it appears. But evidently Krishna didn't think so. And this is also interesting because usually we think of offenses as much worse than fall downs. into some sinful activity. Am I correct? Yes? To pick yourself back up and go on in bhakti after some fall down into some sinful activity is very accepted. But we say if you commit an offense, especially an offense against a Vaishnava, and especially an offense against your guru, then that is the mad elephant and you are finished. So we generally would rank it like that. And we might say, well, what Nimi did was a lot worse, actually, that he offended, he cursed, my God, he cursed his guru. And whereas, you know, Vasistha, okay, it was anger and greed, and Mitra and Varuna, it was lust. But Nimi gets this grand destination and the others don't. So again, these things are very subtle. And what is somebody's motive may be hard to assess. It also works the other way. You know, sometimes we think, oh, this is a very great personality, and they're doing so much service, and they're such an advanced person, and their heart is dark. And their motives are evil. You know, it's a very tricky thing. So what do we do with this? Because we are told to discriminate. The Majjhima devotee is supposed to discriminate and know with whom to associate. And of course we have our guidelines. I mean, Rupa Goswami gives for the Kanista very easy to understand guidelines. Somebody chants Hare Krishna. Okay, that's easy. Somebody chants Hare Krishna, respect them in your mind. And the next is pretty easy. They've taken diksha, they've taken second initiation, they're worshipping the deity, like we see this Prabhu on the altar, waving the chamara. So, okay, he has diksha, he's worshipping the deity, offer my obeisances. Yes? Simple. Okay? And then the last one is a little harder. Undeviating devotional service, and never having any desire to criticize others. That's a little harder to ascertain because you're looking at an inner propensity. And sometimes the gurus, the teachers, they have to say something critical in order to instruct. That's actually their duty. They have to say, those Mayavadis are wrong. Buddha's teaching atheistic philosophy. And they have to say to their disciple, you are wrong. So it may be difficult to ascertain if they have some propensity to criticize others. But we still have some guidelines, right, especially for the first two. Or we can look in the 11th canto where it says the beginner is one who thinks God is only in the temple but doesn't know how to treat anybody, doesn't know how to interact with others. The middle person, they have love for God, their friendship with the devotees, they help the innocent, they ignore the atheists. And the advanced, they see Krishna everywhere. Or as Bhaktivinoda describes in his purport in Manashiksha, text 1, that the beginner, they think that worshipping God is just about moral principles. The more advanced devotee is devoting themselves to God, and the highest devotee is devoting themselves to God in Raja. So we have some guidelines by which we can ascertain. And then we want to ask the question, where should we, if we're going to make a mistake, because we will make mistakes, which way should we make a mistake? If we think somebody is more advanced than they actually are, then we may take instruction from somebody wrongly. And if we think that someone is less advanced than they actually are, we may commit an offense. And we may be guilty of criticism. So which way to go? You know, one of the principles in American justice is innocent until proven guilty. And this principle was established because previously under the European kings, they would imprison people for political reasons without due process. So the people who founded the United States decided it was better to have some criminals go free than to punish innocent people. So that was the way that they went. And then you have other societies that say, better to risk punishing innocent people and not let any criminals go free. So there's kind of these two different ways that one can look at it. One can have basically a mentality of suspicion, Well, I don't know. You're a great saint, but maybe you're actually lusty. The Prabhupada says right here, you can be a great saint and be lusty. So I don't know about you. And we can have a mentality of suspicion, or we can have a mentality of mercy and say, well, you did something lusty, but maybe you're a great saint. Right? So Adi Purusha Prabhu was saying at Govardhan that our job description, right? We say, Vanchakalpa Trubhishtrakripa Sindhubhyeva Chapatitanam Pavaneva Vaishnava Namo Namaha. And often when we say that, we may think I'm talking to the other devotees and let them be an ocean of mercy to me because I really need it. But he was saying our job description is to be an ocean of mercy. That is our job description. Then you might say, well, then won't I get cheated? My dear friends, if we are in this material world, we are going to get cheated. Just figure it as a given. It's just part of being here. It's like if you're in the world, you're going to be cold sometimes. I mean, unless you live in Chennai. They think when it's 23, it's cold. You know, you're going to be hot sometimes. Sometimes you're going to be sick. Sometimes you're going to be healthy. Sometimes you're going to be hungry. Sometimes you'll eat too much. Sometimes you're going to be cheated. And by the way, we will also sometimes cheat. We forget about that one. To treat others the way we want to be treated. Can anyone here say, since the day that I walked in the door and started chanting Hare Krishna, I have never been overcome by lust, anger, or greed? Anybody want to raise their hand and say that about themselves? That's a problem. But yet I would like the other society of devotees to treat me as one of them, yes? Just like we have this word prakriti bhakta, the materialistic devotee for the beginner. And it's explained why this term. Because such people, they're not really devotees, but without being able to associate with other devotees, they can't make advancements. So the advanced devotees call them prakriti bhaktas, and that way they can associate with them. So the great souls like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Narada Muni, they're associating with people like me out of kindness. They're choosing to say, you have lust, anger, and greed, but you still can be a great saint. So then I need to do that to others. The mercy that I'm getting, do we all, everybody admits that they have problems with lust, anger, and greed? Yes? Who has ever one time, even for 1 minute, have a problem with either lust, anger, and greed? There we go. And yet, we're still here. Isn't that amazing? Krishna didn't throw us out. He didn't say, you rascal demon, it's right there in the 16th chapter. He could, you know. You got angry. Get out of here. No, yeah. So we should also be kind. Not that we should be foolish. But we should also be kind. Should be an ocean of mercy. It's okay, just get back up. It's okay, just get back up. It's okay, just get back up. And the person who does the best here, Nimi, he does the best because he's not just trying to control his lower nature. We don't know how Mitra and Varuna, what their method was. Prabhupada just said they tried to control their lust. We don't know what method they used. Some methods are extremely effective, and some are extremely ineffective. But we do know that Nimi's focus was on serving the lotus feet of the Lord. We know this in the, again, I don't want to steal the thunder of the people who will speak in the next few days. But this was his focus, was on serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And if that's our focus, then apichet sucharacharo. Very soon everything is fixed. If we try to fix things in another way, it may be more or less effective. And it may, you know, something that's effective on Monday may not be effective on Tuesday. We've had this experience. Yes? Sometimes, yes, like, yes, I controlled my greed today. And then 2 days later, we don't. Yes? But catching hold of the lotus feet of the Lord is always effective. Param drisva nivartate. It's so sweet that in comparison, lust, anger, and greed appear as they are, which is not sweet at all. We see, as Prabhupada said, the naked form of material desire. And we naturally become uninterested. Why would I want to act under the control of these things? We see them for what they are. We see them as an illusion. We offer respect to Maya. One needs to offer proper respect to Maya. Daivyesha gunamai. Oh lust, oh anger, oh greed, you are part of the illusory energy of the Lord. I offer all obeisances to you, but I am holding on to the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the absolute effective mechanism. And this Nimi did, and he attained his spiritual body. So that we can do. And if we fail to do that, we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, apologize, and go on. You know, next time, I'm going to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord. In order to do that, it requires recognizing lust, anger, and greed from a distance, isn't it? Like with the Prachetas, it's explained their anger came on them like sudden falling out of the sky. Like, you know, thunder. You're just walking around. We've experienced anger like that, everybody, yeah? We're just like, you're fine, and then all of a sudden, ready to kill somebody? That happened to the Prachetas. But it's not really like that. Because Krishna says in 262, 263, it's really contemplation, right? Attachment, lust, anger. There's some steps. I mean, the Prachetas are also interesting. They had just seen Lord Vishnu when that happened. But to be able to see from a distance, oh, I know you. Like maybe there's some person we know and we want to avoid, yeah? Any of you have anybody like that in your life? Somebody, you know, I don't want to be with that person. And so from a distance, you see, oh, I know that person. I'll go this way. Yeah? I'll go this way. So to see from a distance that contemplation, that's anger, that's lust, that's greed. I know you. Jai Mayadevi. I'm going this way. I'm taking the lotus feet of the Lord. So one way I found to be very effective in doing this is to find something very specific from Shastra. Now this method, I should give you a caveat, it requires you to study the Shastra. If you don't study the Shastra, this method does not work. It just doesn't work. One has to study the Shastra, and one has to really thoroughly study the Shastra. Is whenever we have some difficulty in our own consciousness, to think of something in the Shastra instead. So if one is struggling with lust, one could think of this. Oh boy, Mitra and Varuna, they struggled with lust when they saw Urvasi. Where did Urvasi come from? She came from Naranarayan Rishi. How did she come from Naran? And you start going into the Leela. And in 2 or 3 minutes, your own lust will be gone. Or one feels angry. Oh, that shopkeeper is cheating me. Oh, yeah, Vasistha also got angry. He was angry at Nimi because Nimi didn't wait for him for the sacrifice. And then what happened to him? Then he had to die, and he was born out of a pot. Wow, that's really interesting. All the ways they were born out of the pots. And then the gopis like to balance the pots on their head when they're traveling. And you start getting absorbed in the Leela. And then your own anger, you look at the shopkeeper and you're not angry at the shopkeeper anymore. One forgets whatever is going on, because these things will come. Prabhupada writes that even great saintly persons will be disturbed by various thoughts coming into the mind. We shouldn't think, just because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm eating prasadam, that there'll never be anything nasty that can come into my mind and my heart for me to contemplate. That is not true. And if you don't believe me, please read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 22 to 25. Where Krishna says, one should not hate illumination, attachment, or delusion when they appear, nor long for them when they disappear, but remain neutral, knowing that the modes alone are active. And Prabhupada says in that purport that as long as we have a material body, that the influence of the modes will go through our body and mind. But one should remain neutral. Now, we're not supposed to remain neutral like a Buddhist or like a Mayavada. I am a soul. That is a thought of anger, greed, and lust going through my mind. It is causing reactions in my body. The reactions are peaking and now they are going down, and I am the observer. This is what's being taught all over the world, by the way, as meditation. But that is not our bhakti way. I mean, that is also there in bhakti. To step back, I am the observer. But we are supposed to jump into Krishna. This is our main way of dealing with these things. And it's very easy if one thinks of some equivalent pastime. Or here, like Vasistha thought he had been insulted. Yes, his anger came from thinking he was insulted. We all get insulted sometimes, yes? Yes? Or we think we get insulted. Oh, Vasistha thought he got insulted. And you think of this pastime. And then one forgets one's own insults. And then all of life becomes filled with Krishna. Then one actually sees Krishna. As one gets absorbed in these pastimes, one's love for Krishna and his devotees awaken. Then premanjana charita bhakti vilochana santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achinta gunasrupam. Then one sees Krishna everywhere. And then automatically the things of this world have less and less and less effect because we don't focus on them. Instead, we move our focus to Krishna. So thank you very much. There's some very interesting and difficult stories here in this ninth canto of the Bhagavad Gita. One time a student came to me, 13 years old, very angry, angry at everybody. At her parents, at her former teachers, at Krishna, just like angry. And I opened up the Bhagavatam in the ninth canto and just gave her one of these stories to read. And after that, she gave up her anger and eventually became initiated and so forth. So these are very fascinating stories here in the ninth canto to prepare us to enter into Krishna Lila. So questions, comments, additions, subtractions. I think we have a mic that can wander around. Chastisements.
Thank you, Mataji, so much for a wonderful, deep understanding of this subject matter. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.30, Apiche Sudhacharo, Bhajte Mamananda, Sagru Samatara Smadhu. So this verse is totally applicable on this.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I was so happy to hear the explanation what you have given. When I was thinking in my mind this verse, that complete explanation of that verse is given.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You so much.
I mean, not complete, it's a little speck in the ocean, but thank you, little drop. Thank you.
Mataji, I have one question.
Yes.
Nimi Maharaj got his spiritual body.
Yes.
And after cursing his guru.
Yes.
And Bali Maharaj...
But don't try that at home. Don't think, I'll curse my guru and I'll go back to God. It doesn't work like that.
Bali Maharaj was cursed by the Sukracharya, but he did not...
He didn't counter-curse.
Yeah. But he also got the devotion service of the Lord. So both things, Nimi Maharaj after cursing How we understand it?
Better to follow Bali's example than Nimi's example. Nimi's example is dangerous. How he wasn't affected, I don't know. I really don't know. There's no commentary. Is there any commentary, Adi Purusha? I was looking, I couldn't find anything. But better to be tolerant. I mean, that's the basic principle is if your authority does something wrong, you may renounce your authority, but better to tolerate and not counter curse and not attack. I mean, unless Krishna's sitting on your chariot and says, go for it. Kill that Bhishma and Drona, you know, then. But even then, Arjuna was hesitant. He's like, I don't really think I want to do that. So it you want to be very sure. It's really got to be Krishna on your chariot, and you can even argue with him a little bit about it and say, well, I don't really know if I should fight my guru. It's not that we should just, yes, my guru's wrong, pow, pow. You know, you'll probably lose all your bhakti for that. Most likely. But there's an exception. I think we had a question here. Is that all right?
Thank you so much. Perfect.
Perfect. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Nice class. Very interesting class. So I had two things. The first point you made that the modern materialist scientists, they are so proud of their progress, of their intelligence, and we all agree that actually they have no intelligence, and the Vedic system was...
I don't know about no intelligence. They're called duskritina. Yeah. That means they have intelligence they're misusing. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, but I was trying to distribute a book some days ago, and somebody was telling me, yes, that's true, that there is more cancer nowadays because of this modern lifestyle. But in the past, also, people were dying of cholera, and now we know how to cure cholera, for example. So they are not convinced that this modern life is bad, this modern science is bad. They think actually it is good, but understand this.
Well, it has some good things. I mean, we're using a lot of modern science right here, right now. You're using modern science with your microphone. And Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, they must be used. You know, microphones, dictaphones, so that Prabhupada says must, that we must use these things. So we're not exactly saying that modern science is bad, but we're saying it should be guided, that the people engage in science should be brahmanas by quality, to know how to use science appropriately. And in former ages, people knew how to use science more appropriately. I mean, they sometimes misuse their science too. To curse somebody and have the curse take effect is also a kind of science. I mean, I can't do that. I can't go out to a monkey and say, you know, become a human, and it doesn't work. Even though ostensibly Prabhupada made me a brahmana, I still don't have any powers of a brahmana like that. Right? I hope none of you do. That's dangerous. But, you know, former times they did. So if a brahmana came to you and said, you know, become a frog, you know, you became a frog. Which was why the kshatriyas were held in check by the brahmanas. It wasn't just culture. It wasn't just training in school and by their parents. But they knew, you get the brahmanas angry, you know, you become a frog. So it was a scary thing. But yes, sometimes they misused it. We have so many examples in the Bhagavatam of people misusing subtle science and advanced science. The demons misuse advanced science, like Shalva, who was fighting against Dwarka, Sudakshina, who misused subtle science to attack Krishna and Dwarka. So the misuse of science, whether gross or subtle science, has been a problem since the beginning of the universe. But our problem today with misuse of science is that the misuse of science has become the norm instead of the exception. And scientific and technological advancements are used without concern for the side effects. So yes, we give them credit for, you know, eradicating smallpox. That's a great accomplishment. You know, having refrigerators, and I'm happy I have a refrigerator. I mean, it's not that we don't give them any credit for anything, but we're saying that the advancement they make has undue side effects that are worse than the problems that they were solving. And so we want science. Prabhupada says in the first canto that science applied in the service of the Lord is Hari Kirtan. In an ideal society, we would have scientists. It's not that everyone in an ideal society is you know, plowing the field. There's also, and it's not that all the brahmanas in an ideal society are just doing yajñas and puja. In an ideal society, we would have scientists. But the scientists would be in sattva-gun, and they would know how to apply science in such a way that would benefit modern society. So that's more our argument. If we just say the scientists are all bad and everything they do is evil, I don't think that most thinking people will accept such a thing. And then they'll look at us and say, well, you're using a lot of science. And we are. So it's much more how it's applied. And if it's applied by people who are in Rajagun or Tamagun, then they don't really care. In Tamagun particularly, you don't really care about the consequences. One of the main features of Tamagun is let me do something that makes me happy right now, and whatever the consequence of this is irrelevant. So that's... Yes, is that all right? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Speaking about that, we get anger, although we are chanting, we get anger, sometimes we get irritated, or sometimes lust is there.
Yes.
So, all these things are there, although we are chanting since so many years, 30 years, 40 years, 30 years or so. But these things are still approaching us and giving disturbance. So, to come out from there is very difficult.
Krishna says, Duratya.
So, we always think of Krishna. Even those things are coming, we are chanting, we are coming for morning programs, Bhagavatam, everything, we are coming still. But the things which we want that it should go away, it's not going away.
But they won't go away.
They won't go away.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
They won't go away. Our response to them should change. If you're thinking they're going to go away as long as we have a material body, I'm very sorry. The Shastra will not support this. You know, if we think, well, I'm just going to wait, and it's going to go away, it's going to go away, it's going to go away, it's going to go away. It's not going to go away as long as we have a material body. What will go away is how we choose to respond to them. That will change. But that is a question, I'm really sorry, it's a question if we have to practice how we respond to them. It's a deliberate abhyas yoga. It's a deliberate response. If we just think, well, I can't help it. I got angry. I got lusty. I got greedy. And I acted on it. What can I do? I'm still so fallen. Or it's Krishna's fault. I've been chanting for so long. He shouldn't let it come anymore. That's not going to be helpful. Instead, if we learn to recognize these things when they are in the distance, just like I know, oh, I know that person. That person will talk to me for 5 hours about useless things, and therefore, I'm going to go the other way. You know, so it's recognizing at the very, very beginning, I know you, your lust, your anger, your greed, your lamentation, your fear, your shame, your grief, all these things. I know you. And as it starts to come into our body, okay, what is there in the Shastra? Come on, come on, come on. And the mind's going, okay, what's there in the Shastra? Come on, come on, think of a Leela, think of a Leela. All right, insult, insult. Somebody just, they insulted me, and I'm going to get them. Okay, who got insulted? Okay, let's see. Shishupal insulted Krishna. Vasistha insulted Nima. Nimi insulted Vasistha. Draupadi was insulted. Which one do I want to think about? I think about Draupadi. Wow, what it must... And start going into it. And when we change what we contemplate, then the other is just gone. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Maya shaktam mana partha. So this is a question of practice. Because, again, I'm really sorry to have to say this. Really, really, I'm really sorry. It's not just a matter of going, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, 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 Good club, Jimin. Why did I get angry? It doesn't work that way. We've probably all tried that, and it doesn't work that way. Just going through things in a mechanical fashion, as if it's a mechanical process, and then when we're overwhelmed by lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, lamentation, madness, we go, the process doesn't work, or something. But it's a question of an intentional withdrawing the mind from Maya and putting it on Krishna. And yes, it's difficult, but Krishna says by constant practice and by detachment. And then what happens? It's not just by our own effort, because our own effort is always going to fall two fingers too short, always. But that in 264, Krishna says one gets Bhagavat Prasadam, and that just doesn't mean breakfast, which we'll all have in a few minutes, but it means that the Lord sees, oh, you're making an effort to think of me. You're making an effort. And sometimes the mind and body are just screaming with their material attachments, yeah? Just absolutely screaming about whatever it is. You have to be lusty. You have to be angry. You have to be... And we can say, let me turn it to something else. Let me turn it to something else. We'll take one more from you and then we will stop. Yep, microphone. I already answered your question.
Almost.
Okay, we'll take it another millimeter. You were in a coma?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, my short-term memory is affected.
Okay. Okay, well, then ask again. Okay, with the microphone here.
I will bring a notebook, then I will write.
Very good. So what is the last little bit of the question?
What did you say, the last? That's my short-term memory. You just closed it.
Oh, now my... Okay. Now I forgot. Oh, that Krishna will give us mercy.
No, it was about anger. My question, isn't it in this material world necessary to have a certain amount of anger? You have to survive. We are in a material world.
Maya is so tricky. You have to have anger. You need it.
No.
Otherwise, you can't survive in this world. You have to have some lust. You need it. You have to have some greed. You have to have some lamentation. Yes, you do. It's necessary. And you're using it in Krishna's service. You have to find some shastric justification for your lust, anger, and greed. And Prabhupada says Arjuna couldn't fight without anger. There you go. There's your justification. I would prefer to believe when Krishna says, Trividam narakasyedam dwaram atmanam atmana kamakrodas tatas dwaram nashanam atmana kamakrodas tatas lobat tasmat etvam tvayam tvajat. We are supposed to give these things up entirely. Entirely. 100%. Now, there is a devotional rasa of anger, but that's full of love and ecstasy. So if you have loving, ecstatic, unlimited joy, that Kaliya holding on to Krishna, oh, I hope he gets his just desserts. And if you're in that ecstatic anger that Mother Yasoda has and Nanda Maharaj has and the residents of Vrindavan has when Kaliya wraps up Krishna, that's fine. That's fine. But how do you know the difference? Material anger pollutes you, even technically speaking, even physiologically, medically speaking. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, lamentation, guilt, they all pollute the body. You can look it up. There's lots and lots and lots of medical evidence. People who are full of guilt, lamentation, anger, lust, greed, envy, get sick. They get sick. And people who give these up get healthy. Ordinary materialistic people who become grateful instead of angry can cure chronic diseases. So that tells me that we're not supposed to have those things. Okay? Biology is indicative of the Lord's desire. Our biological mechanism doesn't respond well to things like anger. So, but if you're angry in such a way that you feel ecstatic and you're full of joy and it makes you love Krishna more, then it's a rasa. Now, sometimes we have to act angry, like Narada Muni told the snake, don't bite but show your hood. So sometimes if we're in the position of guru, teacher, parent, authority, sometimes we may have to act angry, otherwise we can't instruct properly. But that should be superficial. We should not actually be experiencing any anger at all. So the making excuses for these things is Maya's trick. She's very good at it. She's extremely good at it. We have been buying her excuses for a lot of our Shakti. We've been spending a lot of our Shakti buying Maya's excuses for a very, 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 very long time. And all they do is make us physically ill. They disturb our mind. They make us unable to think about Krishna. And we will take another birth, and probably not out of a pot. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.